darling of the catrists, trained in every branch of anything. Sly, evil, a true catrist product. Only Turl could have built a firing console from scratch, and he's gone. Johnny's mind was racing. He had all Turl's work papers. They would tell him the sequence. And then his hopes were dashed. Soth said, "That also applies to computing motors. Only Turl could have computed out the full circuits for motor consoles." Johnny had no such papers. "They are," said Soth, "quite different, you know. The firing console overrides and gets around the same space principle. The motor runs on the resistance space puts up to being changed." Soth was dangling the contract in his claws. "What I have told you about cyclomath applies to all of it and can be used in solving anything but teleportation." Johnny brightened. At least it would apply to the hundreds of thousands of patents. Still, it meant no motors. It condemned him to eventually flying reaction engines. It meant Desperation Defense wouldn't have an easy conversion to peacetime. Then he recalled something. "But executives used to repair motor consoles," he said. Soth sat up. He looked at the contract and then at Johnny. "You just want the circuit itself? I thought you were interested in the mathematics. Mathematics is a pure subject," he added with the vehemence of any dedicated hobbyist. "But if you want just the circuit..." He was fishing around under books and papers. "Where's my breathe gas mask?" In minutes, they were outside and Johnny was issuing the orders Soth wanted relayed. A console was to be removed from a plane, one from a ground car, and one from a flying platform. And they were to be brought at once to the repair shop without being further tampered with. Mechanics went racing about. Presently, the three consoles were sitting on the floor of the repair shop. "These are the three different types of consoles for motor drives. All other motor consoles are one or another of these types. Now, you will have to give me a hand. I am not as strong as I was once." Soth closed the door, barring everyone else. He reached up on a shelf and brought down a poison ore bag. Johnny had seen them often enough. They were transparent. They had two very tight armholes you could put your hands and arms into. He thought they were used when one sorted out arsenic compounds used in ore refining. Soth, with a little help from Johnny, struggled the ground car console into the bag. Then he stuffed in all the trailing connection wires that had just been severed from the vehicle. He sealed the bag tight. He connected an air hose to the fitting at the bottom, and the bag around the console began to inflate. He picked up a pressure gauge and a toolkit and shoved these through the armholes. Then he put his own arms in and snapped seals around his elbows. Through the transparent top, he watched the pressure gauge he had put in. 100 pounds is what you want," he said. The bag inflated. The gauge went up to 100. He checked his elbow seals. The pressure was holding. Soth picked up a screwdriver from the kit he had put inside and swiftly took out the screws of the top plate. Johnny looked on, fascinated. He had done that once with a tank console, and it had promptly ceased to work. But Soth simply took the screws out. He lifted the top of the console, which contained all the buttons, completely off, and bunched the cables which led to it. He then looked into the console itself. There were all kinds of components in there, but unlike a rig, it had no insulating board. Soth selected a wire with clips on both ends and fastened it on either side of three components to bypass them. "Pressure fuses," said Soth. "The whole inside of one of these consoles is carried at high pressure. If the pressure drops, any one of those three fuses expands and blows. If anyone monkeys with the cover, it lets the atmosphere out very silently. That blows these fuses. Except for the fuses and the erase surge components, everything else you're looking at there is garbage. Sensible seeming, but really just garbage. It has nothing to do with the console operation. I have jumped a wire across the fuses. They will blow, and I'll have to replace them. But the wipe mechanism won't work now. The real circuit is still intact. Johnny was wondering where the real circuit was, if that vast area of components was just garbage. But Soth knew what he was doing. He kicked the pressure hose with a foot, and the bag deflated. He withdrew his arms and pulled off the fasteners. The bag fell away. Soth turned the console over. These buttons would appear to go down like ordinary keys and hit the false circuit, but that isn't how it operates. The whole circuit is in the cover. When you push a button, it cuts off an internal light path and makes the circuit operate. Each button works like that. A totally hidden circuit done with molecular alignment in the cover plate. And if you fooled with it, it wiped the circuit out. One cover screw loosened and you had no console anymore. "Where's some paper?" said Soth. He found a big sheet of it, larger than the console plate. "Where's some powdered iron?" He found some, the dust-like brown-black powder, almost capable of floating in the air, so fine was it. Soth dusted the powder on the white paper and spread a thin coat of it. Then, struggling to keep the bunched cables from tangling, he laid the console cover right side up on the paper. He took some jump wires, found a battery, and linked the battery to the console amid a flash of sparks. He was fixing it so that the cover and buttons would have juice running through it. Soth exactly positioned the cover on the paper and then rapidly tapped each console button. Johnny suddenly understood what he was doing. He held up a hand to prevent Soth from removing the cover. Johnny got a metal analysis camera off a shelf, stood up on a stool, and shot a picture straight down. When Johnny had finished, Soth gently lifted up the cover. There on the paper, drawn in magnetically grouped iron filings, was the whole circuit. Activated by pushing the buttons, each part of it had grouped the iron filings. On the removal, a tiny part of it had gotten blurred, but Johnny had it in the camera. To be sure, he now took another picture of the tiny, thin, brown-black lines. They had that circuit. Soth put it all back in the bag, inflated it to 100 pounds, replaced the blown fuses, checked the plate gasket, and then screwed the console back together. 2 hours later, they had all three types of motor console circuits. They put everything away, called the mechanics, and had the consoles put back in the vehicles and connected. Johnny made a test. They all started the motors. Very different from a firing rig. Very different indeed. 7. Back in his room, old Soth was tired and coughing a bit from having overexerted himself this day. Johnny sat on an improvised bench and waited for him to get his breath. Eventually, Soth said, "I can't dismantle or put together a teleportation shipping rig. Only Turl could do that. And I surely can't build one either. So maybe I shouldn't take this contract." He held it up between a couple of claws, looked at it longingly, and then handed it to Johnny. Johnny couldn't help but wonder how this race might have been if it hadn't been for the Catrists messing up their brains. "No, no," said Johnny, pushing it back at him. "You've done fine. In fact, the key you have given me to routine cyclomathematics has probably unlocked the door to a parade of inventions Intergalactic was sitting on. You may have helped bring prosperity to many, many worlds." "Really?" said Soth. He thought it over. "That's nice. Yes, that's very nice." He was pondering something. "You know," Soth said after a while, "you have something of a security problem, too. An awful lot of people of an awful lot of races would do anything to get their hands on cyclomathematics and some developments they stole. You know, don't you, that Professor N, who developed teleportation, was a box nerd? No? Well, he was. Yes, people will be trying to get this data. But I think I can help." He thought for quite a while. Yes, I think I can do it.
He smiled.
Like any hobbyist, I like to fiddle around. And about 50 years ago, I was on a dreadful planet, not even a tree. I set myself the problem of putting cyclo-higher math into a computer. The company and the government would have had fits had it been reported. But I remember the circuits I devised. It would work all right, but I'd need some facilities and components.
A computer. Johnny had been dreading solving hundreds of thousands of formulas to get whatever inventions they'd found into use. If he had a computer, anyone on his staff could rattle them off. If you do that, said Johnny, I'll give you 1,000,000 credits out of my own pocket.
1,000,000 credits? Gawped Soth. There isn't that much money.
He was fumbling around through his litter of paper. Johnny thought he was trying to find some reference, but then saw he was trying to locate a Kerbango saucepan. Soth obviously felt he needed a stimulant. The saucepan was empty, and Johnny got a package of Kerbango from his pocket and put it in the pan. Soth chewed a small bit of it, thankfully, remembered his manners, and offered Johnny some, which was, of course, declined.
You startled me, said Soth, but that wasn't all I was going to tell you.
He chewed for a bit, got his heart beating again to his satisfaction.
I have been fooling about converting simpler cycloarithmetic to the decimal system.
He went into the litter of papers again, found what he wanted on the floor, and showed it to Johnny.
It's quite an amazing system. Children and people learn it quite easily. The Cyclo Empire actually held on to the 11 system just so others could get more mixed up.
They mixed me up, said Johnny.
Well, I should think they did, but that was all part of the security program. Anyway, all the basic arithmetic functions and the lesser formulas can be converted over to the decimal system. Then maybe they'll even put money into the decimal system, as I see the Galactic Bank's new issue remains in the 11 system. Now, here is the good part. The decimal system will go into general use. Nobody will want anything to do with the clumsy 11 system, and it will go into disuse.
He sat back triumphantly.
You'll have your computer. The 11 system will phase out. People will consider it some old curiosity and forget it. And that in itself is a kind of security precaution.
Johnny had found a piece of paper and was writing on it rapidly.
A second contract?
Said Soth, reading it upside down. In addition to the first contract, said Johnny, 2,000,000 credits if you make the computer, and 1,000,000 if you convert basic cyclo math to the decimal system.
Oh, dear, said Soth. I could collect a warehouse full of mathematics texts with that. 10 warehouses. 50. Quick, don't change your mind. Let me sign it.
When they had finalized it, Soth looked at it for a while.
You know, on Cyclo, that would make me very rich. One would have 12 females, raise a huge family, become almost a noble dynasty. But it's all finished.
There are still some Cyclos here, said Johnny. There are 7 females. The race isn't finished.
Ah, said Soth. You don't know.
He sagged.
The Catrists long ago pulled back the only cyclo colonies that had begun. They convinced the throne that colonies on other planets might mutate, be able to live in other atmospheres, and constitute a threat to the crown. So they insisted that all babies born be born only on cyclo.
Where they could put capsules in their heads, thought Johnny.
Occasionally, very rarely, continued Soth, a royal noble could take his own females to other planets, but only with a whole Catrist team along. All female employees of the company, by long-standing order from the Catrists, had to be permanently sterilized before being shipped away from the home planet.
You mean... Johnny gestured to the rest of the compound area.
Yes, said Soth. All these females are sterilized. They cannot have any pups.
He sat for a while, pensive.
You might think I hold it against you for destroying that planet. I don't, you know. From the moment the Catrists began to gain power, the race started to go bad. The way I look at it, he continued, their program of degrading everyone, suppressing any group who sought a new morality, calling everybody animals, turned Cyclo into a beast. People all over the universes, all through the ages, prayed for the end of that empire. It was hated.
He looked at Johnny.
Sooner or later, someone was bound to rid the galaxies of Cyclo. Whole races have dreamed that dream. You,
and he pointed a talon at Johnny,
may think you did it. You didn't. That whole civilization was doomed the moment the Catrists began to influence it. It wasn't you. It was they who destroyed Cyclo and the whole empire. Turl was their product, and I believe he had a hand in their destruction in some way. You know, I've heard he used to sit around in the recreation hall and tell people that man was an endangered species. Because of the Catrists, the Cyclos have been an endangered species for millennia, and now they're not just endangered, they're extinct.
He sighed and looked at his litter of papers.
Well, maybe I can help make up for some of the crimes they have done.
Then he looked at Johnny.
As for you, Johnny, good boy Tyler, have no qualms about it. When you destroyed Cyclo, you gave all the galaxies a chance to return to better ways. I didn't need these contracts. You have offered them, and I will keep them. But it is a privilege to help you, and I thank you for the chance.